Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46 invites us into the presence of God to hear what he has to say to us in difficult times such as these. If you're worried about getting sick or losing loved ones, this psalm is for you. If you're lonely, this psalm is for you. If you're fearful about the future, this psalm is for you. If you're angry and disgusted, this psalm is for you too. It's filled with comfort and joy, not because it changes our circumstances, but because it offers us God himself. This psalm is an ancient song of Israel. It must have been used during times of particular hardship when Israel was being threatened from within and from without. The cities in Israel were built of massive stone walls, and they were made to be fortresses against enemies. The walls of Jerusalem average 8 feet thick. The backdrop for this psalm is some sort of local emergencies, threats from attacking enemies, perhaps similar to what happened in Hezekiah's day when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, attacked Jerusalem. But the need of the people in this particular time, as they were gathered together during a siege, was for safety. In the background, you can imagine a great enemy that has been secretly gathering around the city by the protection of night. The people inside the walls can hear the muffled noises of their enemies taking positions. No one can sleep. They can't do anything but stand in terror as the rattles of weaponry and the shuffling of vast numbers of people stretch on and on through the hours of the night. Anxiety and fear paralyze. Foreboding and dread terrorize. It's the quaking and trembling and shaking of the heart. After endless hours, dawn is finally breaking, and as the morning fog lifts, there before the people stretch a vast army, surrounding the city for as far as the eye can see, the morning sun glinting off the tips of thousands of spears. Rank upon rank of mighty chariots in position, siege works being constructed, massive weaponry being positioned. What was it like to go through a siege in those days? Fear is a monster that consumes us. Imagine the paralyzing terrors, diminishing stockpiles of food, the taunting jeers of the enemy, sleepless nights filled with dread. Famine and slow starvation, the young and the beautiful reduced to skeletons. The unthinkable necessities for survival, such as hoarding and theft and even eventually cannibalism. Disease and eventual breaking through of the enemy. If you're fortunate, capture and exile to become slaves in a foreign land. Otherwise, plunder, rape, and horrible death. What do the people of God do at such a time? Where do they turn? What do they set their hearts and minds upon? Where is security to be found? In fortresses of stone. Where is security to be found today? What's going to remove the life-threatening circumstances? Our governments, vaccines and cures, jobs or financial security? An enemy will always arise which is greater than any earthly power or device, before which we simply can't stand. Whether the enemy be COVID-19 or some other disaster or plague of nature, or the overthrow of our nation, the loss of our freedoms, the persecuting and killing of Christians, the world has infinite ways to strip us, humble us, and leave us defenseless and helpless. So where do we turn? Well, here's the good news. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. God, the creator and sustainer of all things, the one who spoke and the world came into being, who speaks and the earth melts, he is our refuge and strength. The God who unites himself to a people through his covenant of grace, the God who promised to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants forever. I will be your God. You will be my people. This eternal God, the Lord of hosts, who has now revealed himself to be triune in glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is holy, 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 before whom the angels veil their faces, but who has made a way for fallen creatures to be reconciled and restored to him. And so, through faith in his Son, by trusting in Christ's perfect obedience, suffering death, and victorious resurrection as accomplished for us, we are brought into communion and fellowship with this God in all of his fullness. He adopts us as his own beloved children and becomes Abba Father to us. We are united to his Son, made to be those who are in Christ and indwelt by the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, God himself. So when a Christian says, God is my refuge and my strength, it means all of this. The creator of all things, the one who stands outside of time and space, outside of every circumstance, he has forever embraced us to his heart. He's inseparably united himself to us and has indwelt our lives with his own presence. The more we can wrap our minds and hearts around this, the more we grasp the good news of the gospel, the more we will rest in the truth that God is our refuge and strength. Take the worst calamity imaginable. Why, if as this psalm describes it, the whole creation were to disintegrate and fall apart, a covenant child of God through faith in Christ remains safe and secure in him. There's nothing that can happen in this world that ultimately can threaten us. But what about that which is to come at the end of the world, the final assize, when the bowls of the plagues of God's wrath are poured out in judgment on this world, and Jesus comes again to judge the world, and we are all brought before his judgment seat? Are we going to have a refuge then? Are we going to have shelter then? That's the ultimate crisis. And you know, the gospel is simply this, that the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and came into this world. He came to take our place. He came to undergo the most extreme and unimaginable crisis, the crisis that is not of this world, that for most people comes at the end of time. He came to undergo the ultimate exposure, abandonment, and destruction that you and I deserve for turning our backs on God. But he did it for this incomprehensibly wonderful reason, so that we might never need undergo that ultimate crisis ourselves, but rather, having taken refuge in Christ alone through faith, we are enabled to drink of God's river of delight without fear, beginning now and forevermore. There is simply nothing that can happen in this world or in the world to come that can ultimately threaten us. Or as the Apostle Paul expressed it in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, indeed, God is our refuge and our strength. In the tumult and chaos of our modern world, where things can happen overnight that bring us to our knees in fear and quaking, God is saying to all earth's inhabitants, be still and know that I am God. And he's especially calling us as people to trust in him, to rejoice in him, to stand in awe, and make his name to be exalted in all the earth. Now, I'd like to highlight three things that this psalm presents to us as gifts that come to God's people in the midst of crises. The psalm begins with this exultant proclamation that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The trumpets are blaring, and this announcement is being given to the ends of the earth. And the picture that's then painted is this apocalyptic picture of the destruction of the world, where the mountains are thrown into the heart of the sea and its waters are foaming and raging. And even in the midst of such unthinkable, incomparable crises, God's people are to have no fear. They're to be fearless because they're in the very shelter and security of God himself, the one who, after all, is the creator of all things. And then the scene suddenly shifts, and we're in Jerusalem. And we go from the raging and the foaming of the ocean, this chaotic, apocalyptic scene, to the quiet, tranquil peace of a river that's flowing into Jerusalem and bringing joy and gladness to the people of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And so earlier I had painted the picture, and I think the background here is a city in siege. And what is the river that makes glad the city? Well, what threatens a city most of all in a time of siege is lack of water and dehydration and dying of thirst. But Jerusalem was a special place because outside of the city, there was the spring. And it was a spring that was in limestone rock. And when it would rain, there was this large natural cistern in these rocks that would collect with water. And then the pressure of that would make this spring just bubble forth and gush with this fresh, cool water. Well, there were fissures in this rock that ran in towards the city of Jerusalem. And these fissures were followed and carved out. And there were shafts underground, subterranean shafts that were made that brought this wonderful water into the city. And the enemies of Jerusalem would come and they would be up above these subterranean shafts and have no knowledge that the people that were pinned in the city were enjoying this wonderful water, you see. So here is the waters that make glad the city of God. These wonderful waters that God provided in the midst of crises. And this is certainly a metaphor for us of what God wants us to know in the midst of crises. There is refreshing water. There are renewing streams that God desires to give us by His Spirit. Streams that are flowing from the heart of Jesus Christ. Streams that can't be plugged up or polluted, that can't be attacked, and they are there for the person who by faith is willing to go and put the bucket of faith into the cistern and draw that water and drink and live. Here we are, holed up in our fortresses, separated from one another. And I wonder if we're experiencing the refreshing streams of God's grace, and if we're being gladdened and given joy in our hearts, even in the midst of this time, because of what God's giving us, because of what God has for us. People have been writing and saying, this is proving to be a really good time because I'm having wonderful opportunity to be with my loved one or to meditate myself. God's given us a great gift here to be able to invest ourselves in focusing on who He is and what He's given us in the gospel, and to open our hearts to that and receive it and just drink from the well of salvation and allow our lives to really be filled and transformed during this time. You know, that's really the silver lining in this. And the way that we do this is each day we have to be recharged. We get dehydrated during the night, and we need water in the morning to refresh us. And that water is found through the Word of God. It's found in the Holy Spirit who brings that Word to life. And I want to encourage each of you to go and to put down your bucket of faith. And to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this time to be a time in which I'm growing to know You more, to love You more, to be more and more filled with the living water for my life to become fruitful and flourish in You. And, you know, God's Word has so much to give us as we're facing hardships and crises and as we're up against it. We say, I can't, and Jesus says, I am. We say, I'm just too tired, and Jesus says, I will give you rest. We say, I'm all alone, and Jesus says, I am with you always. We say, I just don't know where to turn, and Jesus says, I am the way. We say, I've had enough. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. We say, I'm afraid. And Jesus says, my peace I give to you. The real enemy that you and I face is not the circumstances. It's not COVID-19 or anything like that. It is the world and the flesh and the devil and the lies and the accusations and the attacks and the temptations. And this is an opportunity for us to learn to go to the one who is the wellspring of life. And it is through his word that he gives us life. And so we go to him in our weakness. We go to him with all these coursing thoughts that cripple us and that weaken us and paralyze us and enslave us. We bring them to him and we hear his word of truth coming to us. And we choose to believe that and receive that and stand upon that and turn from the lies and embrace what is true and living. Have you discovered the river whose streams make glad the city of God? Are you living in the joy of salvation? Are you drinking from the cistern day by day and finding your life renewed and being changed more and more into the glory of the new person God is making you to be? Don't let another morning go by. Don't get up dehydrated and try to make it through the day without water. Make it your commitment to get up tomorrow morning and the next day and the next day and the next day, and to take that bucket of faith and go to that wellspring of salvation and find your life in Jesus by going to his word prayerfully and allowing the Holy Spirit to make Jesus come alive in your life and to fill your soul. Well, we've run out of time. There's much more to glean in this passage, and I encourage you to take some time and see if you can discover some other gifts that God wants to give us in times of crises. But in closing today, let me just say this to you, brother, sister. You are secure in Christ. God has gone to great lengths. He has paid an incomprehensible price to bring you into his fortress, to make you secure in his grace. And he desires you to live in that and enjoy that every moment of your life. Nothing in this world can shake that or separate you from what he has given you in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I can live without fear. We are the fearless ones, and we can show this world who God is by living fearlessly. When I was a boy, my mom used to come into my room at night, and she'd often tell me a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, one that she had memorized as a little girl. It was called The Children's Hour, and some of you may know the famous line from that. I have you fast in my fortress, and will not let you depart, but put you down into the dungeon in the round tower of my heart. And there will I keep you forever, yes, forever and a day, till the walls shall crumble to ruin and molder in dust away. That, my friends, is the heart of God. Do not be afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.